1975, and I'm near Walden, Kentucky, heading south on Highway 14, or west rather, toward Glencoe, and then down to Sparta, where I hope to interview a Mrs. Gibson. And I have a letter from her stating that she is her husband was a descendant of John Filson. And the story she gives, that he's the man who brought Boone into Kentucky and so forth, is compatible with the true story of Filson and, or rather of Findlay and Boone. Now the Lucian Beckner story gives Findlay as disappearing on his fifth Indian raiding trip down the Ohio River. I expect to find some different information today, because there is a lot of doubt as to what Findlay's final years actually were. And it's possible here that I can backtrack. I hope to find out where he might be buried, where his home actually was after he left Kentucky and so forth. And if I can get this information, I intend to follow it through within about a week.
He's kin to my husband's people.
Yeah.
He was killed in Gibson, and he was born over here in Elk Valley. And I never knew him for a long time.
Elk Valley where?
Elk Valley, not Elk Valley, but Elk Lake.
Elk Lake, come here, sit down if you want to.
I met him later on and married him when I needed somebody to take care of my farm. He came and he lost everything he had. He worked hard and had a nice farm up there, but during the other depression he lost everything. And so he was living down here at Wheatley on a farm. And his sister married a cousin of my mother's, a double cousin of my mother's, but we never knew very much about her. The whites, my mother was a white. And the whites never liked her, and they're peculiar people. Maybe they're mean, I don't know. And I guess they are. And they were also part marshals. They were descendants of Chief Justice Marshall, and they're the meanest people that ever God made. And so I got to know Mr. Gibson, who is a son of his that lived next door neighbor here, and then two or three of his boys worked here. Well, Pascal, the oldest one, lived here for a while. He put him here to take charge of, take me with the farm. I couldn't do very much. I'd never been raised to work. Didn't know much about the farm. I was worse than Green Acres. I'd never turned my hand and just left poverty stricken. You know how that is. Mm-hmm. And through the Depression, you can imagine what all that was with my father's debts to pay. I hope you won't print all that.
No.
And so then I married Mr. Gibson, and he always told me afterwards, he said, I'm a descendant of John Findlay. And that picture was made by his niece. She paints. Yeah. She was a painter. She did all this. And she did beautiful work. Her husband was Mr. Jim Gibson's daughter, Mr. Gibson's oldest brother's daughter. And her husband was a colonel and a surgeon in the Army, First World War, and Duckwall. He was from Pennsylvania Dutch. Mm-hmm. And so she'd been everywhere and been used to him, but she had this artistry in her, and I see now that they've all got it since I've heard from the ones that love it. And he always said, now we are descendants of John Findlay. And he said, Pap, his father was raised down in Elk Valley, Tennessee. And he said, I think we was kin to Boone, but he said he brought Boone to Kentucky, and it makes him so mad when anybody said to anybody else come to Kentucky before John Findlay. He said, I know what I'm talking about. It's been handed down. They couldn't read and write, but he had the most brilliant brain. That's his daughter up there. She looks just like him. She's got one of the finest minds. That's another picture of him. She's got one of the finest minds, and he's got one of the finest minds you ever saw in anything's head when the woman used it. And he said, don't never tell me that John Findlay, he said, he was my father's ancestor. And I said, well, just what Ken says, I think it was Pap's great-grandfather. He said, there's a Bible that tells you all about it. And he said, I don't know who's got it, but he says it's somewhere in Tennessee. And his father, The reason his father came to Kentucky, they was raised in Elk Valley, and they owned the land down there around where Norris Dam is. Mm-hmm. They owned that. Yeah. Before he was one of the rich, well-to-do mountain men. Do you understand? They owned the valley land, and they had Negro slaves, so they all fought during the Civil War.
Yeah.
And Ewell, that's the man's picture in that you see, that's his grandfather and Mr. Gibson's father. He was 16 years old, and his father had gone to somewhere.
Your husband was 16 years old.
No, my husband's father. My husband was Tilden.
Yeah, that's right.
Tilden Gibson. And then there was a finer man never walked the earth. He wouldn't lie and he wouldn't steal, and he had been a very handsome man, and he had a brilliant mind, but he was uneducated, don't you know? He was a woodsman. He was just like Boone. And his father, he always said, his mother, who was Mary Ty, and she was part Creek Indian. I didn't know that till we heard from the Gibsons in Lubbock, Texas, who are head of the King Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
You know the King Ranch?
Been on.
They've been three, this is the third generation that's head of the King Ranch. I reckon you must have run into it. And she is Hazel Gibson Jones that lives, I think I have her address, yes. And so he said that his father, his stepmother, the Yankees come through. His father took all of his cattle. He said, the Yankees are going to get them, and he took them all to La Follette to sell them, La Follette, Tennessee. And originally, his ancestor owned 6,000 acres and the land that La Follette was on. I'll run that down from an old man, 90-some-odd years old. That's his niece that married the colonel in the army. Do you understand? She had the money, and so she was very brilliant.
She run that down in early 20s.
Yes, she run that down in the early 20s. This old man was still there, and he knew him as a little boy. He knew his people and knew the Gibson, and he said if it hadn't been that the courthouse was burned, you all would still have money come to you. They never got a dollar. He had 600 or 700 or 800 acres land. Now, you can go back and know there's no records. That's it.
No records.
They burned. You see, the Yankees mm-hmm. burned the courthouse at La Follette, but La Follette was their county seat, I think. And he said that his father took all of his cattle and sold it, said, they're going to take it, and I just will get the money. And he was coming home with the money. And I think he was killed at
Gettysburg.
Huh? Gettysburg, somewhere along in there, somewhere he was coming.
Jacksburg.
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 I think it is.
Jacksburg, Tennessee. He was coming across a bridge anyway, and when he got to this little town, everybody says, Gibson run, says we're all going to hide, says they're going to kill us, the Yankees are coming. He said, well, I haven't, they're all that way, they're bullheaded, their heads wood. Mm-hmm. He said, I haven't done anything, I haven't been in this armed war, but all of his sons was in it, except this one young Ewell, do you understand? Mm-hmm. He was 16. And, of course, he had his second wife, and I think there was one or two children at home. He said they had one or two children. And that was in 62. I just got the record of it. I just looked here the other day. I think I can find it again. And he said, I'm not going to run. I'm going on home. I started home. I'm going home. And this major shot him on the bridge. And this is a Bible that he had on him, what's left of it. Mm. But how come him to have it? The stepmother sent Ewell out to ask the major, this very major, I reckon, that shot him, to please leave him one cow. They didn't have but one cow left, and not they took it and asked him not to take him. Instead of that, they took him prisoner and took him on in. And then while he was prisoner, and they had him in this prison, bunch of men there, they brought his father's belt and said, we've killed him, one good big old mountaineer. And if he knew that it was his father, he said, that's my father. After they described it, and this is what was left. So you can see the blood on it,
yeah.
Of a Bible that he always wore over his heart. And he asked him that he had a money belt made out of elk leather. And Mr. Gibson's told that, you've heard him tell that a lot of times. He asked him for the belt. He said, I know I won't get the money, but give me the belt. And they said, no, they
now,
won't get
Mr. Gibson was in the prison. Was your husband?
No, honey,
grandfather.
Mr. Gibson's father. And this was his, Ewell's father, James Thomas, for whom he is for whom he is named, that was shot by the Yankee major.
Yeah.
And this is his little Bible that was on him. And Mr. Gibson always kept it. He always said that's all he got from Pap, was with all of my, and they never got a bit of land. So Ewell, they took him on prisoner, And he's told them, and I've heard all different ones of them. There's one of them in Frankfurt. He might be able to give you a little more information. Finley Gibson, well, Winifred Finley, as he said, he calls himself W.F. He doesn't want to put the Winifred to him. He looks terribly like him. He's big like him, but he's more like my mother's people, fat. They're bony, angular people, tall. Mm-hmm. And black eyes and black hair, but they get that, they say, from the, now, I'll tell you about that later on. But anyway, he went to, they put him in this camp somewhere, and he lived on rats. He would catch them with a snar, he called them, and soak them in salt water, so there's plenty of salt, and he'd soak them in salt water and cut them up, and he lived on rats. And he even fed them to the old major, don't you remember? He fed his camp boss. And he didn't know, he thought it was chicken, you know, didn't know nothing else. And anyway, whether he got out or whether he was exchanged or what, he got loose.
He was exchanged.
And he got loose, and there was no use in him going home, because they told him, no use in you going back to Tennessee, the war is over, it's about over. And he got with Morgan's men. They gave him a horse, and he went up into the to Indiana, but he saw they was going to get caught, and he turned and come back. But he was at Cynthiana, at the battle. You've heard of the battle of Cynthiana?
Yeah.
And that night, when they went to sleep, there was a man with him from Owen County. And he told him, he said, I ain't going. They didn't put out any pickets. Said they were so tired. They had run all day, and they were so tired, and they said, oh, they're not going to. He told him, he said, we better leave. Some of us better stay away.
Yeah. This is
the bridge at Cynthiana. I've heard him. I've been to Cynthiana, but I didn't know where that was. And he said, I'm not. He told this man from Owen County. He said, I'm not going to sleep. Says they're after us too close. He was a mountain man, you see, and he knew. And all the rest of them laid down and went to sleep. But he rested his horse, but he just loosened his saddle, and he didn't take off any of his clothes. And he just laid right where he'd get home of his horse, and this Owen County man did too. So, of course, they jumped him, and they fought him, but he got cut off from the rest of the bunch. And this Owen County man says, they ain't nothing for us to do but get it out of here. He said, they've got us. We've got to go. He says, let's go to my home. He says, I live up Elk Creek. Says, I live up
on... That's in Owen County.
Yes, that's in Owen County here. And so he come there with him. They got loose and come to Elk Lick and laid around, and he met this Toles girl that he finally married, Alice Toles.
T-O-L-L-S?
T-O-W-L-E-S. T-O-W-L-E-S. Alice Toles. And he lived there, he laid around there, and she helped to feed him. Mr. Gibson says, I think she made him kind of hit this and this other man that she knew. It could have been a Toles that was with him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was somebody from Owen County. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard But I've heard Mr. Gibson say, then you need to put this in, because I don't think Mr. Gibson would want it. But we didn't know that until later on in life. Then I think he got with Jesse James. And anyway, his brother tried to go back. Now that's this one that went to Texas Pryor. He tried to go back to, was it Pryor or was it that jumped off the bridge?
It was Trapp.
Anyway, Trapp tried to go back. Pryor tried to go back, and he saw he couldn't. So he got word to his wife he found no Trapp come first. Trapp tried to go back, and he had to jump off the bridge with his boy. And Pap had written to him, and Mr. Gibson said, from up here at, after he'd fooled around a little bit with Jesse James, Dad didn't say that. He said he was scouting at the first time. He never told me that first. He said he was scouting around and making his way. But he said he'd come back and work for Billy Cale at Monterey. Billy Cale was a very wealthy man then, had big tobacco landholdings, and later on his people all made good. And he said he had written down there to some of his people, sent a letter and told them back in Tennessee, and told them if they wanted him to write to him and care of Billy Cale. He worked for this Mr. Cale, and he was a very fine man, and Mr. Gil Gibson was, and he was an enormous man. I never saw him but once. I saw him on a bus, and I knew I'd heard of him and knew he was raised in his son. And I said, if I'd have known he was going to be the head of my grandchildren, I've got a picture of him upstairs, and that's his picture in there, I would have looked at the old man. But he sat up in the back of the chair then. He was up in 80 then. That was in the 20s when things, this was in the 20s. And he sat there and I was talking about some sheep. And he never did take his eyes. He had brilliant black eyes just like the Finleys. And that black, his hair was white. They said he had the blackest hair and the blackest beard and the blackest, whitest skin of any man he ever saw. My husband had the same thing. And he sat up there, he was enormous. He was about 6'4". And he was big, they're big through here, angular. And he sat there and looked at me, and I talked to him, I'm glad not, you know. I knew the man, it is when they first started these buses, and it was an old family friend, Nunley, his people were, they were kin to me, they married him now through my mother's family. And he was just driving one of these old Cadillac cars, you know, you've seen them with two seats. And I was on the front seat with Nunley going to the doctor, to Lexington. And when he went home, he told Miss Skim, says, I saw that Gibson girl that lives up that New Lip. She said, her tongue's loose in both
hands. Both hands, huh? I've heard that one before.
He didn't like people to talk too much, you know. He's a mountaineer. He said, her tongue's loose.
That was your father-in-law. Huh?
That was later my father-in-law.
Yeah.
And so I paid no attention to him. He's just an old gentleman, and I was raised to treat older folks.
What was your maiden name?
Gibson.
Gibson.
I was a Gibson too, you see, but I was a different bunch. His was a mountain Gibson, but I believe we were some kin. My people, my father's people, came from a Gibson, and my daughter has a record. We got to, Isla got it Washington when she thought she was getting her Gibson, but wound up to be my Gibson. They built the first. House, he had built the first house by Uncle Joe, my great uncle, told me to always remember that they built his father, Patrick Gibson, had built the first house at Dayton, Ohio, but it was Springfield, and it's still there.
Yeah.
It's, and he said, all where the Wades lived, his sister married a Wade, and there's a world of them. This is my great grandfather on my father's side. Married a Wade, and now it's where the Masonic Widows and Orphans Home is. Uncle Joe went back. He made a lot of money, and he went back. And he said that then this he was a priest. He came over here. Some of them killed in Ireland, and this book that I sent to my daughter, this record that Isla got, that Isla, Mr. Gibson's niece, had gotten in Washington. Now I believe they're the same set. Because, I'll tell you that later, because he came he was this priest, and one of his brothers killed an Englishman in Ireland, and they just decided to leave. And they sent the priest to keep the rest of them straight and to live right. But when he got over here, he fell in love with a woman, and that was the end of him. His people then said, you broke the faith, and they had nothing more to do with it. They all left. And Uncle Joe found one. Bert Gibson's, who was Albert Gibson, he was a tobacco man in Covington. And I'm still with that Gibson, and I are still the only ones that's left. And we know we're kin. They have sent us now James Thomas Gibson, a copy of James Thomas Gibson's picture that my daughter has. She sent it to me, and he's a spitting image of him. And I thought he looked like my Gibson's. He looks like my aunt Nell Gibson and my grandfather's father as much as anything on the face of the earth. Got that round face. And I thought, I said, why, good gracious alive. I said, that looks just like my Gibson's. Instead of, so I think it must, they could have gone down the mountains. Do you understand? This priest never knew what went with them. They wouldn't have nothing more to do with him. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Joe only found that his father's, Samuel Gibson he was. He came after Patrick Gibson had a number of sons, and one of them came on to Kentucky. Samuel, that was my great-grandfather on my father's side. And he married a girl down here at Camelsburg. But the others, they fanned out, and we don't know what became of them. But this old priest brothers, we never knew what became of them. They never had anything more to do with them. They could have gone down the Kentucky Mountains.
Do you have any idea where your father-in-law was with Jesse James?
No, I don't have no idea, but I'll tell you this much. Pride Gibson, Daddy, I didn't know anything about that. He said, Uncle Travis jumped off the bridge with his boy in his hand, and he wrote back, and he had this letter. Now, Travis was Ewell's older brother that had served in the Civil War, Confederate.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees was going to kill him when he tried to go back home. And, of course, there's nothing there, and he jumped in this creek, this river, with his boy. and swam out and said he wrote back. He knew that Ewell was in Monterey. So he'd come on there and come on to Monterey. They walked. Mm-hmm. Walked through and finally got to Monterey. And he asked this man if Ewell was there, and he said, well, he was here, but he's not here now. I imagine he was out with Jesse then. He was scouting around, they called it. And that's all Daddy said before us that time. And he said, well, he said, I've got to have some work. I'm going to send for my wife. We can't stay where we are. Of course, this one, Kentucky, one county sent more Southern soldiers to the South than any other county in Kentucky. Did you know that?
No, it didn't.
Well, it did. And there's two or three of them hung. Some of the Lincoln Felters were hung up here over there. We had it hot here. And these Todds, was Major Todd, Colonel Pigs, and Captain Ritchie, all in the Southern Army. You know, that's the trouble. They all had to be
beaten. Mary Todd Lincoln's.
That's Mary Todd Lincoln's first cousin. They built the old house here. And so he said that he asked Uncle Trav, that's Mr. Gibson's uncle, his father's brother that came out, says, can you hold tobacco? He said, I don't know. I've hold corn, but that's our old home. He said, you couldn't, I've never hold tobacco. So he put him towing tobacco, and of course there's a great big stout strong thing. He said he never saw a man hold tobacco in his life like he did. He said, you're hired. So he sent back, and his wife drove a wagon and team, oxen wasn't it, Jim, and brought what little bit she could and drove to Kentucky from down in Tennessee. She made it through. And in later years, he went back, and his people, one James Thomas Gibson, they called him Tom, is on Lake Cumberland. He owns part of the land. How come he didn't know that? Mr. Gibson had visited him down there. He's got a young wife, too. Great tall man. And he, then Isla, Mr. Gibson visited him, but and there was a Mary, Aunt Mary Lovell. And he had one aunt.
Was your husband.
Yes, mm-hmm. Tilden. I called him Mr. Gibson. He was older than I was. But I called him Dad most of the time. But he said he had an aunt, Mary, who married married a Lovell. That was his father's sister. Of course, they're all dead now, I'm sure. However, Tom Gibson, Travis Gibson's boy, and Travis Gibson must have had other children besides, let me move this, honey, must have had other children besides this Tom. But anyway, Mr. Gibson went to see this Tom. And I heard Isla say afterwards that they were surveying around Lake Cumberland, and they got on his land, and he got mad, threw the survey instruments and the whole thing in the river, in the lake, and told them if they come on him again, he's going to kill a whole bunch of them. That way, they're awful high timber. I guess we've all got it. And then he said that then Uncle Pryor wound in there, and his wife come. Now Pryor's the one that finally went to Texas.
Go ahead. Marking the side of that.
Then Pryor was the one that finally went to Texas, and he went to Texas in 70. I've got it here. He went to Texas in 70. Where's that book about? Now Travis was still here, but was still in. This is the 1870 census. Now she was, where's that other tablet that I had here the other night?
He left here in 1871, didn't he?
I had a piece of paper.
What is this book?
Now? I never can find anything.
That's the one county census.
Oh, that's the one county census.
1870?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. I had a piece here that told me the other night. I know I looked at it and I thought, well, I'll keep that where I can get my hands on it. Here
you go.
Let me see. This is it.
Your one is not in that now.
Well, that isn't too important, I guess.
Well, then Pryor went to Texas. Him and his wife, they went in there in 1872. This was in 70, and they went there in 1872. And his father went to visit him after that. So she has written us and sent us, she has all the dates and everything. Mm-hmm. And she was the one that we knew we couldn't just fix it out so close where John Finley come in, he always said he was Pap's great-grandfather. So she told us that John Finley, Mary Finley, married James Thomas No, Jim Thomas Gibson's
daughter. Who was Mary Finley now? Wait a minute. Mary
that was John Finley's daughter.
All right. For the sake of my record here, John Finley, now and then Mary is his daughter.
That's what we understand. Right.
And then she was the mother of James Thomas, the first as we knew of. But now, what did they say that other Thomas Gibson, that other
James
Gibson?
James Thomas Finley.
James Thomas Gibson.
She married a Gibson.
All right. And then she had James Thomas Gibson, and he married Mary Ty, who was part Creek Indian.
Yeah.
And then they had Ewell Gibson.
They had Ewell, and then your husband's name was Ewell
Tilden.
What was his name? Tilden. And down to you.
Down to him. He's
right, now to James Thomas
and Miss Gibson got six sons scattered all around here. I don't have to do them for the biggest nuts I've saw. Of all that, they all made good except
well,
Mr.
Now,
Gibson's children.
Are they your children?
No, I've just got two.
This is it. James Thomas's father, what was...
I've got a piece of paper here that told me that I can't find.
Where was John Finley born? When was he born?
We don't know. Here,
all right, now I've got it here. Now, right here. He was born in Ireland.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you what I've got here and see if this fits. He was born in North Ireland in 1722, but came to Pennsylvania with his parents. They settled near Lancaster, where the boy grew to manhood.
Yeah.
In 1744, at the age of 22, John received from the colony of Pennsylvania a license as Indian trader. And on September the 16th of the same year, signalizing his entering manhood in his business by his marriage to Elizabeth, daughter of John Harris, the Indian trader and ferry owner. Finley received licenses in 1745, 46, 47, but not in 48, but not in 47, the year in which Pennsylvania granted him the land in Paxton Township. It may be he spent that year hewing out his farm and installing his wife. Indian trade and so forth. So
but now, wait a minute. We've always wondered, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to put this in, you don't have to tell the public. But we've always wondered if John Finley was really married to Mary Finley's mother.
He
come there with Jim Boone, you understand. He come down to North Carolina with Boone. And that's where Mr. Gibson's mother people started from, in North Carolina. What's that little town where they had the first skirmish?
Right now, here in 1748, Finley was trading as far west as the Alleghenies. He made his headquarters at Shenopsa Town, a small trading post in which Pittsburgh was built. And then
he was in that fight.
And then he was at Braddock's defeat.
Yeah, with Boone, and they got away.
All right, fine. Now in 1752 and so forth, they were up near Pickwell High. Now there is pretty good evidence that he probably brought bluegrass into Kentucky. There's evidence that he may have brought his trade goods down to Indian Old Field.
He was a prisoner of the Indians for a long
time. That's right. This is all in here. I'll copy this when I get home and mail you a copy.
I would love to have it, please.
Can I buy
the book?
No, this is the only copy I know of. And I'm afraid to lay it out of my hand. I tried to copy this afternoon and couldn't find a copy. Now, he was down near Winchester. Now, captivity. He was to see.
And he said he told them that there had never been nobody else in Kentucky until he got here.
That's right. But in 1637, there was a Dutch boy by the name of Gabriel Arthur who was through
Kentucky. That tells about the.
Let me go on here and give you a little bit. The Kentucky outrage. See, Finley returned to Lancaster, in 1768,
Yadkin. That's where
he watered south, where he spent the winter on the Yadkin with Boone, his comrade, and Arnold.
Now that's where Mr. Gibson's people first come in.
Now, remember his wife's name was Elizabeth, wasn't she?
That's that one.
Yeah.
And they always wondered why he just disappeared. Do you understand?
Well, now according to this, and this is wrong. He disappeared. He was bankrupted five times by the Indians. And
in
1769, he came to the promised land with Boone, Holden, Mooney, and Cooley, and Daniel and Squire Boone and John Stewart. Now, they came into here, and he got sick. He damn near got sick. Now, here's another thing on him. They got captured by the Shawnee.
Yeah.
And the subsequent career of Boone and Stuart Snow. It might be interesting to know that Mooney was one of the first men killed at Point Pleasant Battle in 1774.
And they found one in a tree.
Again, our hero has been robbed of fortune. That's Finley. He set off for Pennsylvania home to rest and recoup, but there's worse misfortune work waited him. His wife had died while he was in the wilderness. This was one of the minor items of the cost of the conquest of the continent. And again, he fitted out for a trip into the wilderness, perhaps with part of his wife's estate. For in a letter written from Philadelphia and published in a London paper, January 3rd, 1772, 2 years after he left Kentucky, it stated that several Senecas have later been killed by our people, and the Indians in revenge have murdered a family on Buffalo Creek and four farmers on Youghiogheny, and there has been likewise killed Robert Parsons, the trader, and robbed John Finley of above 500 pounds worth of wood.
Good.
Of goods. Again, Finley went back to Lancaster and transferred his two daughters, Esther, the wife of William Patterson of Juniata, and Margaret, afterwards the wife of William Worth. In Wachula.
463-2633. She married a friend of Colonel Calloway.
Mm-hmm. Who was with Boone?
Boone, yeah.
Yeah.
They went on part
what
of the went on whether he was Boone's
you?
Daughter. They didn't get to when Nanny died. They didn't Adelie didn't know her. She was old. And she didn't know her long enough to ask her about it. Richard Calloway.
Was she the descendant of the one who was captured by the Indians?
Kentucky. Her people, she said, have settled Kentucky. That's what Nanny, the grandmother.
You know, it seems kind of funny.
Baby, there's a gentleman here that wants to know about John Finley, and he's trying to write the history of it. Have you got that where you could get that, the Lubbock, Texas sent you, that you could give him the names of that James Thomas's father and mother? Is it right there? Yes, you know, she and Mary Tye, Mary Tye's, and she was Mary Tye, and she was James Thomas's mother, wasn't she? She was his wife. Well, who was James Thomas's mother? Was Mary Finley. Well, who was his father? Didn't it say? Was he a James Gibson too? Are you sure? Well, have you got the dates when they was born? She is Eldridge, but you just call her Billy. Her name's Ira Lee.
Alrighty. Ms. Eldridge, I'm Dr. Garrett, Morris Garrett from Fort Thomas, Kentucky. I have been trying to get a bridge here at Cincinnati named the John Finley Bridge because there's... Yes, ma'am. So I decided to drive down and see Mrs. Gibson today, and I've got a lot of unanswered questions. I brought a book down that has what information was known in the 1920s on John Finley. He was married to in Pennsylvania, and she died while he was on a trip. I'm trying to find out where he's buried. I'm trying to find out anything I can find about him and or his family. And if you have any names or dates or people whom I might contact, I don't think I'll ever write anything on it, but I want to know. John Finley had a daughter, Mary. Yeah. And Mary married Gibson. She married James Thomas Gibson. He came over from Scotland, James Thomas. Yeah, he was a South Carolina Continental soldier. Yeah. Then he married Mary Finley then.
Mm-hmm. Take off that coat you burn up. Want me to hold it?
No. Do you have any dates on Mary Finley or where she was born or anything about her?
No, I don't have anything on Mary Finley.
All righty. What about James Thomas, her husband?
Yeah, that's what I'm
trying
to find.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to figure out how many greats this is.
told you there's something fishy about him being down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make him your second great-grandfather, wouldn't it? Is that T-I-E?
T-Y-E.
From which county? Whitley County? Yeah, Whitley County, Kentucky. Yeah. But you don't know what I'm really trying to find out. What do you know about John Findlay? Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been to Pennsylvania to try to check down anything on him? That's where I guess I'm going to have to go one of these days.
Well, why not go down to Tennessee where Minnie Gibson's still alive, a real old one.
Yeah. Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. My address is Fort Thomas, Kentucky, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, 53, Winston Hill, W-I-N-S-T-O-N, Winston Hill, Fort Thomas, Kentucky. If you ever come up with any information worthwhile, I'd sure love to have it. Now, I'm going to go down in about a week from Monday and try to meet with a state highway commissioner again to try to get them to bring John Findlay in. Now, John Findlay, in about 1746, 47, thereabouts, had a trading license from the British, and he came into Kentucky near Winchester, Kentucky, where he ran a trading station, and the four men, the people who worked for him, were killed by the Indians. But bluegrass apparently is not native to Kentucky. It apparently came into here by Findlay possibly unloading his trade goods, which may have been packed with bluegrass from around Reading, Pennsylvania, because the early explorers into Kentucky apparently only found bluegrass in that region. Now, if for no other reason, he should be honored by the state, and he's never been honored, but simple damn reason, we're the bluegrass state, and if he introduced it here, why, he should get some honor for it. Yeah. Well, Boone started in here in 1867 and couldn't make it in. And then later on, Findlay brought him in 2 years later in 69. And so Boone could not do it by himself. But I'm taking up your time on a long-distance call. If you ever find any information, and what is your name?
Eldridge. Give me
a name. Ella Eldridge?
Get a number.
And what is your address? 314 Riverside Drive, W-A-U-C-H-U-L-A, Florida. Yeah. How near are you to Winter Park? Pretty close. I have a son getting married down there in May. So if I run into anything, maybe I'll give you a call or Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S. And Yes'm, Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T is my last name. And I'd love to find anything I can on John Findlay. And there's a lot of difference. Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. And you have to get older to take the time.
You're just 28.
And, oh, you're 28. Well, I'm 56, twice as old. So that will make, show you why that you have to get a little bit older to get the interest, maybe. Or the time. Well, listen, do you want to speak to Ms. Gibson again before we hang up here? Yes, she wants to speak to you again here, Ms. Gibson. And
ask her if they got the tractor.
I'll get
he
out
sells
of
Ford
way.
Tractors, and Jim sells maybe
Ferguson.
Jim wants to know if the baby got his pocket. He's out there in Lincoln. He almost had a nervous breakdown. He's waiting for his daddy to get it.
One of the men who came here with Finley, didn't we?
With Finley and Boone,
yeah.
A hunter, John Hunter.
Oh, the mail truck.
It's big right down here on Twin.
You've got this thing there.
Where?
Right here on Twin.
What's Twin now?
Wait a
where
minute.
Is that?
It was your address 53 Winston Hill.
Winston Hill, Fort Thomas, yes. TWIN, Twin?
And,
Twin.
Listen, if you
it's an old set of place. He, after
they,
well, his great grandson lived right up the road here.
Well, now, where, tell me how to get to Twin from here. And what's and John Hunter, you say his name?
Mary Ty is the.
There's two creeks. They're twins.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go. Here's New Liberty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You come out here to the corner, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go down to Cull,
mm-hmm.
which is Twin.
Yeah.
And there's an awful old road down
Mr.
Twin.
Hey,
yes, sir.
They had a first cousin at the Alamo, Mr. Gibson did. York had a first cousin at the Alamo, and these Lubbock, Texas Gibson said it all tied in with John Finley.
What, who was the first cousin at the Alamo?
What was that first cousin? What was his name?
And that's a very old settled place. Now, mm-hmm. his house is there.
Uncle Pryor told her that he had a first cousin that died at the Alamo.
But you don't know his name.
Or was it his, he didn't have a brother there. Or maybe it was his uncle. Well, Pap had a whole lot of half uncles that went to Texas. Yes, the Finleys, every one of them's named Finley. There's never been mm-hmm. To this
that's
generation.
That's a very old set of plays.
There's not a Finley. Charles Finley died. Well, there's a Charles Finley that's in someplace else.
But
Charles Finley Gibson up there. He's a coach somewhere.
They had lead mines and everything there in the early days.
That's at Twin.
At Twin. It was a very old place.
Yeah. Is his grave marked?
Is it all right?
No, John, but they know where it is.
They know where it is.
That's good.
It would be up in here somewhere.
It would be
near Salem or
below Salem.
Below Salem.
Be somewhere in this bottom here, on the hillside.
Well, now I'll tell you.
Okay.
There's a Charles.
Is there
Finley.
A date or a marker on it?
No marker. No date.
Finley Charles Finley Gibson was Mr. Gibson's oldest brother. He died. He had two children, and his son was a preacher up at Alan Gibson. Had Alan Gibson, who was a preacher up around Georgetown, someplace up there. And he has a son who is, but we don't speak. We don't have nothing to do with his wife. I don't like his wife's people. And Miss Gibson didn't either. He didn't have anything to do with it. They didn't get along. They was his first mm-hmm. wife's people. And
but
he and his first wife separated. And I didn't have nothing to do with it. And because it happened before I ever I got in there, they hadn't lived there. That's Mr. Gibson's father. Mm-hmm. That's Ewell Gibson. Mm-hmm. That's the way they all look. That big, coarse, enormous, black-haired, you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Finleys, that's Mr. Gibson looked like that. And Uncle Pryor, they said, looked exactly. Now, mm-hmm. she's got a picture of Uncle Pryor, a copy of a picture of a tintype. And a copy of a tintype, and Mary Ty and all of them. And there's some of them out, there's a bunch of them out in California. They're all over, and there was some in, one of Mr. Gibson's uncles lived at Madison, Richmond in Madison County.
What is his name?
Matt Gibson.
Gibson.
And then there was one George that went somewhere, they fell out with him, never did. They a bunch that falls out, they don't have nothing more to do with one another.
Yeah.
He didn't speak to one of his sisters, only give her abuse, but he and his brothers all got along.
That's a beautiful
and
bed.
And I was friendly with all of Mr. Gibson's nieces and nephews, one bunch of them. Mr. Jim Gibson was never in his house until I married him. And then he was 60.
This is a beautiful bed made out of pine.
Well, these are all my things I inherited. That's the old house. That's all of
it. This is it. About this hunter.
Would you let him see your knife?
His great grandson Carl lived right up the road here.
Mm-hmm.
Now Louise, his daughter, has went to great
pains
to trace it.
Because her grandfather come with Boone to Kentucky.
Louise what?
Louise, she's down in Marion. Louise, I got the
Marion
address.
Where?
You want the address?
Marion, Kentucky?
Alabama.
Well, no, that isn't necessary. Is this Hunt, did this knife belong to John Finley?
No, James Thomas.
It belonged to James Thomas.
His son-in-law.
He was the son of John Finley.
Son-in-law.
Yeah,
right. I'd like to see
would
that.
Would you let him see it?
Yeah, I might.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
You'll never see another one like it.
I'll be darned. That sounds like it's different.
You go on in the living room. He won't let nobody know where
he's. All righty.
He's got everything he makes for years, and he wouldn't. He always said, no, I don't want to get rid of that because that's got my ancestor in it.
It's a Bible?
No, it's a history. It had belonged to his father, and because it had John Finley's.
It belonged to old James Thomas.
That's right.
All he got was that book and this Bible.
That's all he got.
That was Finley's son-in-law.
Yeah.
And who does he mention?
That's John McCormick's book, isn't it?
Yeah, that book. I have that book.
You'll probably never see another one like that.
Oh, my gosh. Now, this knife belonged to Finley's son-in-law.
Yeah.
Looks like silver, doesn't it? My God.
You can see where it was made. You've heard of Alan Trout. Well, he traced it. He couldn't trace it any farther. It was before 1800.
James Rogers, Royal Cutlery, Sheffield. My, what a beautiful knife. And,
I thought I had
that,
it
on. That is
what was the name of the man who was his...
This
is a picture of John Finley.
And they knew, they said, Pap, he said that, from what Pap said, they always said he looked like Uncle Pryor. And Isla said when I was making it, I was thinking of Uncle Pryor all the time because he looked so much like him. And the picture that they said
of.
I thought I did. It's Conquering Wilderness.
It isn't Collins.
No, I'm not sure. No, this is not Collins. This is Conquering Wilderness, a new pictorial history of the heroes of America by Colonel Frank Triplett. No, I don't have that one.
No, it didn't belong to Grandpa because the last singing in it is the Alamo. The last singing in it was Alamo. Yeah. It belonged to Paul Papp.
But it's that picture of Finney there being his relative. Yeah.
And he said they always said Uncle Pryor looked like John Finley.
There's no question in my mind that you are descendant of.
That is my string, Mother.
He's one of the finest fellows
you ever met. Mr. Gibson in Tennessee.
He knew there's a million
Gibson. In Frankfurt, who knows where the Bible is that has all this in
it. He's got a whole lot of it coming out. He is Mr. Gibson's nephew. Now, I don't have nothing to do with Mr. Gibson's children. But these nephews...
Well, now, he ain't worried about that, Mother.
Well, I know, but I don't want to get mixed up with that other child. I don't know him.
Give me Mr. Gibson's address in Frankfurt, and I'll contact him.
W.F. He's Winifred Finley. Uh-huh. That's his name. 517. Hiawatha Trail.
Hiawatha Trail.
Frankfort, Kentucky.
All right.
And his telephone is 227-7251. And he's one of the nicest men.
Now,
he was at Pearl Harbor when it was blown up.
Yeah.
Well, they put on he was on the Enterprise during
the war.
He was just 19 major naval engagements.
Yeah. How come you named this place Green Acres?
We've got tarred out. It used to be the pines when the tar's on it because there was great pine trees down the front. And I said, well, it's fine, Mr. Hutt, when after my father left, he had impoverished it, and the house was ready to fall down and everything. So after I married Mr. Gibson and that my little girl was a baby mine, I said, we can't do nothing with it. We're too poor. I had my father's debts. He worked and paid my father's debts all the debt on. If it hadn't been for the Depression, I'd have never got through. And he helped me with my mother when she was down, when she finally died. And so I was really under obligations to marry him. I'm glad I did now because I've got the finest children in the world. After he come here, he just went to work. He said, now we can't keep this house. We've got to get the farm in shape. It's got to be fenced. It's got to be put. He was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He was really a farmer. He knew how to go about it. And he went down and cut a whole lot of old cherry trees, and I've got the cherry wood sawed and laid in the barn, been there for since he was a baby, to make enough, make two or three rooms of furniture, dining room and bedroom. And he said, I said, just get it to green again. I said, it's so impoverished, I want to see it green. And all at once, before he got out, well, he had the place just as green, and the fields was all green. I said, well, we'll name it. He said, I ain't worrying about it. I was telling Jim Day, I said, you're just like your daddy. We got the paint for this room, sitting on there, been in there 4 years. Got the paint for the rest of the house, sitting out to his place, been out there 4 years. But you can't get nobody to do anything. If they do it, they don't do it to suit you. And so we just began, Mr. Gibson was down for 4 years. Mm-hmm. 4 years, he was bedfast in that
what
room
I mean
in there.
Down.
And we had to turn him, we had to clean him, so we couldn't help
this. I'm not.
I put her in Midway School. You know, Midway's a very fine place. And her first cousin was Mr. Gibson's niece, is a registrar there, and also that she was a teacher of biology at that time. Bridges of... Mrs. Bridges, Ova Bridges Wilder was her name. Her, her father was a Bridges, and her mother was Mr. Gibson's sister. And so she got to go in with a boy over at Millersburg who was a Chadwell from Mount Sterling. Mm-hmm. He was a Millersburg, you know, that's where that is. And he said they was engaged. She got mad at him. He got drunk one night on him. So we went over there when he graduated and everything, and we were staying at the Pruitts with the Pruitts, friends of ours over there. And he got on a big, well, he got too full, and she like killed him. He got fresh, you know, and she liked to kill him, and they broke up. So she went on and married this first husband, which she shouldn't have done, but he was just a good country boy, and them people had a great deal of money, and he'd been spoiled. And he was a good boy, there was nothing wrong with it. But I didn't want her to marry him because she was too young. And Chadwell went on to join the army, went to Germany. He stayed over there 4 years, and he'd come back. And... was that the first time he come back?
Yeah.
And she had left Tommy, and he come here to see how she was. No, the first time he come, I wouldn't go. Come on, he's a handsomer, better man.
What did you do?
After the bed, Mr. Gibson was helpless, you know. He could use, his mind was fine, his very life. And he said, Daddy looked up at him, he said, what you say your name was? And he said, Chadwell. Said, where'd your people come from? Said, Tennessee, East Tennessee. Daddy said, I thought so. And I was eavesdropping. I thought there was something going to be. He said, did you have an uncle named Bill Chadwell? Was that right? He said, why, yes. Said, he's my grandfather's brother. Said, my grandfather's laying just like you right now, just like this. Said, where'd you ever know Bill Chadwell? He said, he was killed at Northfield, Minnesota, wasn't he? Said, yes, with Jesse James. Why, he said, yes, how'd you know about it? He says, Uncle Pryor was there by the side of him when he was shot. He was with Jesse James, but Uncle Pryor got away. Said, Pap had been with Jesse, but he said that was a long time before that. Pap had got his little cash and was quit, but stopped. Said, they got too hot after him. And said, Uncle Pryor highballed it back to Kentucky with his money. And he said...
This was your husband's uncle.
That was my husband's uncle. And he said, then he lit out for Texas. Said he had too much hot money on him. Said he went to Texas. So that's how come Pryor in Texas. And he went to work for a ranch, the 4-H or some 4-somethings it was first start. It wasn't a King Ranch in the beginning. I think it was 4-somethings. 4-S's or 4-somethings?
4-somethings.
And 4-4s, I think it was. And anyway, he got a job there. And he worked first one thing and another. Then his son... was manager of the King Ranch, and now his son is boss of it. Because Mr. Gibson's sister's child, Jackson, that lives in California, I can't pronounce the name, Yukiyapi or something, it's his office name, but he was in San Bernardino. He was a real estate man there, and he said...
Well, several hours later, I've just interviewed Mrs. Sue Benny, B-E-N-N-I-E, Gibson, at the Green Pastures Farm near Sparta, Kentucky. Obviously, her husband was a descendant of the John Finley who brought Boone into Kentucky. And I have a few names to contact and so forth. That was her son, James, who looked retarded but surely is not. I guess he's never gotten to talk. And You can tell she's quite a character. Well, I didn't record. Some were good stories about some Kentucky politicians. I thought the better part of valor would be not to have these things down. And this is the 16th of January in 1975. Right near, incidentally, a farm of the Bond family where I came down a few years ago to check out the deep water well into the salt water at about 1,100 feet in the, I've forgotten what layer of limestone, that we're considering drilling for St. Luke Hospital. There are about two farms up from them. They tell me that a huge zinc deposit was hit here. And it's very little known about it, but a geologist, is one of the richest zinc deposits ever found.